Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You are listening to a Tech Time Explainer with Summer's F1, presented by Mist Apex Podcast. We live F1. Welcome to Tech Time Explainers. This quick episode is called Wholly Justified. I'm your host, Matt Trumpets, and I'm joined by the hardest working man in Tech F1, Matthew Summerfield, assistant technical editor at motorsport.com and known to all the cool kids onto intertubes as Summer's F1. How's it going there, Summers?
It's going particularly well, thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of excitement, but before we get to all of the fun, let me first remind everybody that we are an independent podcast produced in the podcasting shed with the kind permission of our better halves. We aim to bring you a race review before your Monday morning commute. We might be wrong, but we're first. So I guess before we kick off this thing, let's just remind everyone, too, if they want to join the live stream, find Mist Apex Podcast on YouTube and subscribe. Click the little bell icon when you subscribe, and you'll get a notification when we go live. So, as I was saying, before we move on, let's just recap the technical events of the previous Grand Prix, the U.S. Grand Prix. And last week, the FIA, in an opinion, they said that Mercedes, their new trick wheel system, was completely and totally legal. No problems here. Didn't move along. Nothing to see here. But then as we got closer to the race, really Ferrari started making a lot of noises. And then after the race, we heard that Mercedes had actually changed their brand new fancy wheel system due to a threat from Ferrari. And so I thought it would be great if we could explain what exactly was going on, because it's turning into quite the barn burner, as we like to say over here.
It is indeed. And yeah, it's something that will obviously have given Mercedes quite a performance advantage. So it's quite easy to see why Ferrari would have gone down this route to try to curtail their advantage going into the last few races. And also, I think it's important to remember that this ruling, if it does actually occur to be a ruling in the next few days, will actually have an impact on next year's development for the 2019 cars, because other teams will be pushing the FIA to try to find out whether they can actually build this kind of solution into next year's cars.
Right. And this wasn't the only thing that was going on, too. There were some other things to do with the Ferrari and, of course, tires, our favorite subject, before the race kicked off.
Yeah, so what we had before the race, it was a change in safety protocol from Pirelli. They'd looked at the data that they'd accrued prior to the event and then overlaid that data with what they saw on Saturday during qualifying, and basically weren't too happy with the sort of loads that they were seeing from the Saturday running in qualifying. So what they decided was to increase the rear tyre pressures, as is their want and need, for safety reasons ahead of a Grand Prix, and they increased the rear pressures by 1.5 PSI, which is quite a substantial amount, to be perfectly honest. And it obviously meant that all of the teams were then blind. They had no data based on having the pressures run that high. And so we're left in a situation where, say, the front runners, who are always running as close as possible to the limits, will have been affected by that change ahead of the Grand Prix.
Okay, and Ferrari, too, had done some major reversion, I guess it was, because of the wet running on Friday.
Yeah, they decided, basically, over the last Grand Prix, few Grand Prix, they've made a huge array of updates to the car. And what they decided to do was roll back those updates. They wanted to see how the car would perform at the US Grand Prix based on a specification that perhaps is 3 or 4 races old. They did try out some new parts for this particular Grand Prix, but because of the wet running on Friday, they decided to completely abandon those parts as well. So we actually saw Ferrari running a car that was perhaps 3-4 races old as such, that had a lot of parts missing from this race.
Yeah, but it seemed to work pretty well for them based on qualifying. And now let's get to it. What exactly, because we're talking about Mercedes and we're talking about these wheels, what exactly are these holes that you were referencing?
Okay, so basically, it's part of an ecosystem, the way that we have to look at this thing. The way that Ferrari have approached the legality aspect of it is that Mercedes are using an approach similar to the one that was banned in 2012 when Red Bull ran a blown front axle. Their blown axle is very different to the one that we see, which is commonplace currently, where there's a massive hole in the middle of the axle and it's hollowed out. Mm-hmm. So the old system, basically, these holes were within the axle itself and the wheel, and they rotated. So it caused a sort of movable aerodynamic device. And what Ferrari is suggesting with the Mercedes design is that it has a very similar approach in terms of the way that the Red Bull design was approached as well. My opinion of that is that Mercedes are using the aerodynamic aspect as a secondary effect rather than the primary effect like Red Bull were. And so, you know, there's a clash of opinions here as to what is actually constituted as a primary and secondary effect. As I say, it's more down to the fact that Ferrari really want to know, can they develop their own system? And putting pressure on the FIA is not just the fact of trying to derail Mercedes as such, it's also about improving their own chances next season. So it's a very complicated sort of way of looking at this straight away. And it's very complicated.
Yeah, it is very complicated. And as we're sat here looking at the pictures, on the left we see all sorts of tiny little holes and in the race and in the hub. And then on the right, it looks completely different. So what did Mercedes actually do to stay clear of any challenge to whatever points they accrued this weekend?
Okay, so the picture that you're seeing on the left is of the new specification that has the smaller holes in there. It's what I've termed a diffusion ring, because those smaller holes would diffuse the airflow that's passing through them. Whereas on the right-hand side is what specification you would ordinarily expect Mercedes to use. They are holes that are covered up. Ordinarily, that part of the wheel would fit onto the hub itself. And in the hub itself, you have the brake system, in which you have the lugs that the wheel fits onto. Now, there's also other holes in there that allow air to pass through. Now, what Mercedes appear to be doing is using those holes that are already pre-existing in the brake setup to allow airflow to move into the wheel rim. Once it's inside the wheel rim, it then can obviously control the temperature of the tyre through thermal transference.
Right, so almost literally like blowing across a hot cup of coffee or a tea, then.
In some respects, I guess so, yes. So basically what they're trying to do is to cool the air that is inside the tyre and the wheel rim. And to do that, they are trying to cool the wheel rim itself and then internally change the temperature of the tyre core in order that it performs better throughout a hot lap or even the stint in a race.
Yes. Well, the race is where we've seen them have the most trouble. But if I look at this picture on the right, this was their solution. And it looks like they've closed most, if not all, of those holes up.
Yeah, so what they've basically done is they've taken the opportunity to close the holes off in order that they don't fall foul of the FIA or Ferrari suggesting that they were using this particular system in Austin. That they've not only closed off the inlet, what I would consider to be in this particular sense, the inlet holes, though. If you look inside the actual center of the wheel rim as well, yeah, they've also put a bead around the inside of there. Now, that's where the outlet is. So what happens is the airflow is moving into these small perforated holes. It then sits within the core of the wheel rim itself, interacting with the internalized flow or temperature. And then it's ejected through these small holes in the center of the wheel rim. So yeah, it's there's several things going on here. It's not just one particular arrangement.
Right. And I assume then, and we're about to take a look here at an image of the wheel hub. I assume then that there are holes in the wheel hub that match the ones that are in the wheel rim. There, I think I said it correct.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, you have holes in the brake side of things, and that's where the airflow is effectively coming from. So you've got the airflow that passes throughout the brake assembly itself is passed directly into the wheel rim to try to control the overall temperature.
Right, and so that would be part of the overall cooling that they were going for when they were trying to solve their issues with it. But you also brought up an older concept when we were chatting before the show that I found was quite interesting. So it's not just that the tire itself is full of air, but they're actually using the entire they're using hollow spokes, you think, as well, perhaps to
that they most certainly are. I found most recent pictures of the new specification wheel rim without the tire on, and they are actually using these hollowed spokes as they have for a number of years. I'm not saying that that's anything new, but it has changed. The design has changed to accommodate this particular system, and also the external fins that we've seen on the outside of the wheel rim, which we all assumed was just the basis of the reason why Mercedes tire management had improved. The external fins were obviously there, put there in a similar way to what Red Bull do, to try to control the airflow and obviously control the temperatures within the wheel itself.
Right. And I think in reading about these, what fascinated me was this essentially becomes almost like an expansion chamber, but for heat, in the sense that depending upon rotational speed, there may or may not be transference between sort of inside the tire and inside the entire wheel rim.
Yeah, because obviously you get to a certain point, I would imagine, where you would choke the flow, that it can no longer enter the hollowed spoke.
Yeah.
And so you have these transient conditions whereby you would have a heating and then a cooling of the actual surfaces. So, you know, it's something that would change throughout the course of a lap, change throughout the course of a corner, change throughout the course of a stint. So, yeah, it's all about the overall management. There's obviously a lot going on here. There's a lot of things to consider within the whole scheme of it. But yeah, it's a very complicated system.
Okay, so now we're back. And I really, with the FIA having cleared this design, what really prompted them? What were they most concerned about when they decided to make this change? And did they make the change at a time in the event when they violated Parc Fermé or something like that?
We don't actually know when they made the change. So we don't know whether they made the change on Friday evening. So they went into Saturday qualifying without this system as well as on Sunday. Or we don't know whether they were instructed by the FIA the difference is here is that the FIA didn't actually specify you must make these changes. What they actually said to them was Ferrari are potentially going to protest the design after the race. So that means then that Mercedes have a decision to make. Do we run it and risk the protest? and then obviously the result could be changed afterwards? Or do they not run it and then think about things afterwards? And I think that's the approach, obviously, that Mercedes decided to go down, because at the end of the day, they could still have won. Lewis Hamilton could have still have won the championship in the United States, even without the wheel design that they've obviously run for the last few races. So I think it comes down to the fact that they were just a bit wary of a protest that would then have put Hamilton's potential championship victory on the line, really.
Yeah, they were going to lose far less points finishing the race with the blank off holes than they were going to if they had a race win taken away from them later on in arbitration. Okay, so I guess you really can't wait to see what they're going to come up with for Mexico, as this appears to be not a settled issue by any stretch.
No, it's far from settled. And interestingly, I think what we will need to see straight away is, do Mercedes revert to their old style wheel rim design, or do they run the fin design that we've just seen? Do they run it without, with the holes blanked? You know, there's numerous configurations we could see them running, but it will certainly be interesting to see which they choose at Mexico.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, and thankfully we're not going to have to wait long. So I have to say thanks for taking the time and using simple words for common folk like me. And before we go, where can we find you online?
Probably the best place to find me is on Twitter, and I'm SummersF1 over there. Obviously, you can find my work over on motorsport.com with the legend that is Giorgio Piola, and obviously my website as well, which is summersf1.co.uk.
And that's the place you want to go if you really want to take a deep dive into the subject, because I'm sure there's going to be some good stuff up there. And also, hit the link for the latest Missed Apex podcast, our review of the U.S. Grand Prix. As for me, I'm MattPT55 on the Twitters, and remember, chicks dig heels, wounds cause scars, and glory is a fungible concept under certain philosophical precepts. This has been Tech Time Explainer. I think that'll do. Pretty nice.
Cool.
Thanks for setting us straight on that one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.